All right, get ready, because we're diving deep into injection molding today. You want to understand this manufacturing process better? And we've got a ton of info to help with that. We've got excerpts from articles about all kinds of stuff, like the advantages and the cost benefits and the design flexibility, what materials you can use, even what its limitations are. So by the time we're done with this deep dive, you'll know injection molding inside and out, ready for anything.
You know, it's funny. We see injection molded stuff every single day, but the process behind it is pretty complicated, actually. I mean, think about your phone case, that complex toy you saw at the store, all probably made with injection molding.
Yeah, it really is kind of like magic, isn't it? Turning simple plastic into all this intricate stuff. But it's really engineering and precision, not magic. So let's start with the basics. Why is injection molding so advantageous? Our sources all talk about how efficient it is, how fast the production speeds are, how you can make really complex designs. It's almost hard to believe.
Yeah, it's a very powerful process, especially if you need to make a lot of parts really quickly. Like, think about the automotive industry or consumer electronics. Those industries need speed, and injection molding delivers that. But there's a trade-off. It's great for high volume, but the upfront costs can be a lot. The molds, the machinery, it might not be the best choice if you're only doing a small project.
Yeah, that makes sense. Like, if you're only making a couple copies, you don't need a huge printing press. So, high volume, that's key. But what about the quality of the parts themselves? We've all had that cheap plastic thing break way too soon.
Oh, yeah, for sure. And that's where injection molding really shines, by using automation to precise mold design, and of course, choosing the right material. You get this really high level of consistency and quality. It's hard to beat. Think of it like a bunch of robots working 24/7, making perfect copies of your design. That's injection molding. And since every part is basically identical, you get that really nice look and that seamless feel, like it's high quality.
Okay, yeah, now I'm starting to see the whole picture, but I gotta admit, I'm also getting a little nervous about how much all this costs. We're talking robots, custom molds, it's gotta be expensive. So tell me, for those of us watching our wallets, how cost-effective IS injection molding really?
It's a good question. And yeah, we got to be honest about the costs. You're right. The initial investment can be a lot, especially with the molds and the machines themselves. But I have this really interesting example that shows the long-term benefits. They were talking about a mold that cost $10,000. If you're making 8,000 units, each part cost $10 to make. But if you scale up to 100,000 units, the per part cost plummets to just 10 cents.
Wow, okay, that is a huge difference. So it's kind of like playing the long game, right? The initial cost might be scary, but the more you make, the cheaper it gets. Like those bulk discounts, buy more, save more.
Exactly. And don't forget about the molds being reusable. One mold can last for thousands of cycles. So you're spreading that initial cost over so many parts. Plus, there's less waste. Good for the environment, good for your wallet. Actually, some of our sources mention factories that recycle all their leftover plastic. Makes you feel good, right?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Getting bonus points for helping the planet. But let's move on to design now. We've talked a little about making complex designs, but how much freedom do you actually have when you're designing something you want to make with injection molding?
Okay, imagine this. You have this power to create any shape you want, to combine all these different functions into a single part. That's the kind of freedom you have with injection molding. So, like, imagine you're designing a toy and you want it to have all these intricate details. Injection molding can bring that to life, like, perfectly. You can add features that would be impossible with other methods. It's like watching an idea come to life right in front of you.
That's really incredible, all those possibilities. One of our sources even talked about a project where they were under a crazy deadline, but they were able to meet it because injection molding let them make those super detailed parts. It's like having a secret weapon.
It kind of is. But like any powerful tool, you got to know its limits. You can't just make any shape you want. Like, details are one thing, but there are limits to what kind of geometry you can actually create. Like, imagine you're trying to take a square block out of a mold. If it doesn't have any angles, it's going to get stuck. That's why we need something called draft angles.
Draft angles. Okay, that's a new one for me. What are draft angles and why are they so important?
Basically, there are these little tapers on the sides of the part. They might seem small, but they're super important because they let the part come out of the mold easily without breaking or getting stuck. You see them all the time. Look at a water bottle, for example. That slight angle near the bottom, that's the draft angle. Lets it slide right out of the mold.
Wow, you know, I never even noticed that. It's amazing how these little things can have such a big impact. So, draft angles are key for getting the parts out of the mold safely. But what about the materials themselves? Are there certain plastics that work better for injection molding than others?
Oh, absolutely. Choosing the right material is super important. I mean, it can make or break your product. how it works, how long it lasts, even how it looks, our sources talk about a bunch of popular options: polyethylene, polypropylene, ABS, polycarbonate, nylon. Those are just a few.
So many choices. Okay, let's break it down. What are the stars of the show and what are they good for?
All right, let's start with a classic, polyethylene. It's flexible, it resists chemicals, and it's affordable. You see it everywhere. Packaging, containers, milk jugs. Polyethylene is really versatile. And there are different densities of polyethylene too, which matters a lot. High density makes things rigid, like a milk jug. Low density is more flexible, like a shopping bag or shrink wrap.
So even within one type of plastic, there's a whole range of possibilities. What about polypropylene? How about that one?
Oh, polypropylene. Think of it like the marathon runner of plastics. It's got really high fatigue resistance, so it can handle a lot of stress without breaking. It's also lightweight and has really good impact strength. So it's perfect for car parts that need to be strong but not heavy, or living hinges on those flip-top containers, or even those super strong ropes they use for boats.
Okay, I'm starting to see how each material has its own unique strengths. Now, I've heard of ABS plastic. I can't remember what it's used for.
Oh, you definitely know ABS. Lego bricks. Those are made from ABS. So yeah, those iconic building blocks that have been inspiring kids for generations, all thanks to ABS plastic. It's really tough. It can take a beating and has that smooth finish that's perfect for toys and electronics.
Wow, I had no idea. I guess Lego bricks really are a testament to how durable and versatile ABS is. Now, what about polycarbonate? That one sounds pretty high tech.
It kind of is. Polycarbonate takes durability to a whole new level. It's super strong, it's clear, and it can withstand high temperatures. So it's great for safety goggles, or electronic housings that need to be strong and see-through, or car parts that need to resist heat.
Wow, it's like the superhero of plastics. Strong, transparent, heat-resistant. Okay, yeah. What's next on our plastic tour?
Let's talk about nylon. Nylon is kind of a jack of all trades in the world of plastics. It's strong, it's tough, and it's even self-lubricating. That means it can handle friction really well. So it's great for gears, bearings, and all sorts of car parts. Anything that needs to move smoothly and hold up under pressure.
Okay, so nylon's the go-to if you want something to move without any hassle. But what about projects that need something more flexible?
Ah, well, then we have thermoplastic elastomers. TKZs for short. There's this really cool blend of rubber and plastic, so they're great for anything that needs to bend without breaking, like seals, gaskets, the grips on your tools, anything that needs to be a little rubbery.
All right, so we've got all these materials, each one with its own special abilities. It's like having a toolbox full of different plastic solutions. But how do you know which one is right for your project? I mean, there's so much to consider.
Yeah, you're right. Choosing the right material is really important. You got to think about temperature resistance. Is it going to get hot or cold? What about chemicals? What kind of environment will it be in? And of course, how much stress will it be under? Will it need to bend or twist and take a hit? It's all about finding that perfect balance between how it works, how long it lasts, and how it looks.
It's like solving a puzzle. But it's cool that there are so many options, and each one has its own role to play. But before we get too excited about all these possibilities, we got to talk about the elephant in the room, the limitations. Injection molding has all these advantages, but no process is perfect, right? So what are some of the drawbacks we need to know about?
Well, you're right. There's no such thing as the perfect manufacturing process. Injection molding has its downsides, and it's really important to know about them before you jump into a project.
Okay, lay it on me. What are the downsides? What could trip us up?
I think one of the biggest challenges is that initial investment. Injection molding can be pretty expensive to get started, especially when you think about the cost of making those molds and buying the machines you need.
Yeah, that's a big one, for sure. Not exactly something you can just do in your garage, right? But let's break it down a little more so people really understand what we're talking about. What are the big expenses, the things to watch out for?
Well, the molds are a big one. Designing and making those molds, especially for complex designs with lots of features, can really cost a lot. Like, imagine a really detailed toy or a machine part with all sorts of moving pieces. Those molds need to be super precise. And that kind of engineering and manufacturing, it doesn't come cheap.
So the more complex the design, the more you got to pay for the mold. Makes sense. But what about the machines themselves? I'm picturing these giant, like, factory-sized things. How much do those even cost?
Yeah, you're not wrong. Injection molding machines are pretty sophisticated pieces of equipment. And depending on what you're making, you might need one with special features, which of course makes it even more expensive. It's kind of like setting up a science lab. The more advanced your research, the more your equipment costs.
Okay, so we're talking serious money here. But besides the initial cost of everything, are there other hidden costs that people might not think about?
Oh, absolutely. Don't forget about setting up and calibrating the machines. You need someone who knows what they're doing to get everything running smoothly. And that costs money too. It's kind of like tuning a musical instrument. It takes a skilled hand to get it just right.
Right, so it's not just plug and play. You need some expertise to get those machines working perfectly. But even with those high upfront costs, you mentioned earlier that it can be a good investment in the long run, especially if you're making a lot of parts.
Exactly. But that's an important point, how many parts you're making. That's a big factor in whether injection molding makes sense. It's awesome for mass production, but it might not be the best choice if you only need a small batch.
So if you're just making a few prototypes or a limited edition of something, injection molding might not be the most economical way to go. Kind of like buying in bulk. It only makes sense if you're going to use it all.
Exactly. And there are a couple of reasons for that. Remember those setup costs we talked about? Well, those are the same whether you were making 100 parts or a million. Mold creation, machine setup, calibration. You got to pay for those no matter what. So if you're only making a small batch, those costs become a much bigger part of the overall price.
It's like sharing a cab ride. The more people you split it with, the cheaper it is for each person.
Yeah, perfect analogy. Yeah. And on top of that, a lot of injection molding companies have minimum order quantities.
Yeah.
They just won't do a project unless you're ordering a certain number of parts.
So if you're a small business and you only need a few hundred parts, you might run into trouble with those minimums. Are there any ways around that? Or is it just a no-go for small projects?
Well, it's not always a dead end. Some companies might be willing to negotiate, especially if you're planning to scale up production later.
So it's worth talking to them and seeing what's possible.
Absolutely. Another option is to look into online injection molding services. They connect you with companies that specialize in smaller runs, and they're more flexible about minimum orders, kind of like finding a tailor who does custom work. They can handle your specific needs, even if you're not ordering a ton of stuff.
Okay, so there's hope for those of us who aren't ready for mass production just yet. But let's go back to design limitations for a minute. We talked about all that creative freedom you have, but I know there have to be some rules. What are some design no-nos that people should watch out for?
Well, imagine trying to take a perfectly round object out of a mold. If it doesn't have any angles, it's going to get stuck. So yeah, you can make some really cool shapes, but some things just won't work with injection molding. Especially shapes with undercuts or internal cavities. Those are really hard to mold. It's like trying to bake a cake in a mold that's too complicated. You might get a beautiful design, but good luck getting it out of the pan.
So you can't just go wild with your creativity. You got to design with the process in mind.
Exactly. The designer and the manufacturer need to work together. That's why it's so important to talk to each other early on. Make sure everyone understands the process and avoid costly mistakes later.
It's like speaking the same language. Everyone needs to be on the same page. Yeah. But what about the materials themselves? Are there any potential problems there? Like, what if you pick the wrong plastic and the whole thing melts?
Well, maybe not melt completely, but choosing the wrong material can definitely cause problems. One big thing is temperature sensitivity. Some plastics just can't handle the heat of injection molding.
Yeah.
One of the articles even talked about a project where they used the wrong material. And it didn't go well at all.
Oh, no, that's a disaster waiting to happen. So it's not just about picking the coolest plastic. You got to make sure it can handle the heat.
Exactly. You got to do your research. And another thing to think about, especially if you're on a budget, is the cost of the material itself. Some of those high-performance plastics can be really expensive, especially if you're not making a lot of parts.
So you might have to balance what you want with what you can afford, like choosing between that fancy imported cheese and the regular kind of.
Yeah, sometimes you got to make compromises. A more basic material might be the better choice. Even if it means giving up a little bit of performance, it's about finding that balance between cost and quality. But let's switch gears for a second and talk about lead times. One of the sources mentioned that making the molds can take a while. How long does that usually take? Are we talking days, weeks, months?
Yeah, tell me. How long do we got to wait for those molds?
It really depends on how complicated the mold is. But it's not unusual for the whole process to take weeks or even months from designing it to actually making it.
Wow. Okay, that's a pretty long time. Not exactly instant gratification.
Nope. The design phase alone can take a while. There's a lot of back and forth between the designer and the manufacturer to make sure everything is perfect, and then actually making the mold. That requires special equipment and skilled workers.
So you really got to be patient with injection molding. You got to plan ahead and factor in those lead times. It's like waiting for bread to rise. You can't rush it.
Exactly. If you rush the mold making process, you're more likely to make mistakes, and that can affect the quality of your final product. It's always better to take your time and get it right the first time.
Good advice. But speaking of delays, we also got to think about things going wrong, right? I mean, machines break down, parts need replacing. What happens when those inevitable hiccups occur?
Oh, for sure. Even with the best planning and the best equipment, you can't completely avoid downtime. And when production stops, things can get a little stressful, especially if you're on a tight deadline.
Downtime is like hitting a detour on a road trip.
It throws everything off.
So how do you minimize the impact of those inevitable problems? How do you keep those plastic parts coming out smoothly?
The key is to be prepared. Having a good preventative maintenance plan can help you catch problems before they become big headaches. It's like going to the doctor for regular checkups. You're catching those small issues before they turn into something serious.
So preventative maintenance is like insurance for your injection molding operation?
Exactly. And investing in good quality equipment from companies you trust can also make your operation more reliable and less likely to break down. It's like choosing a car that's known for being dependable. You're less likely to get stranded.
So you're paying for peace of mind. But what about those unexpected emergencies? When a part suddenly breaks and you need a replacement.
That's why it's good to have some spare parts on hand. It's like having a well-stocked toolbox.
Yeah.
You can fix those small problems yourself without having to wait for parts to be shipped in.
So it's all about being prepared.
Absolutely.
But even with the best plans, downtime is just part of the game, right?
Yeah, you can't avoid it completely.
Yeah.
But understanding why it happens and having strategies to deal with it can make a big difference in keeping your project on track.
All right, we've really dug deep into injection molding. We've talked about its efficiency, its design flexibility, and also its potential downsides, like the high initial costs and those lead times. I feel like we've covered a lot. Let's take a quick break, and then we'll come back to wrap things up and leave you with some food for thought. All right, we're back, ready to finish up our deep dive into injection molding. We've covered so much, from those high-speed production runs to those draft angles and picking the right plastic. I feel like I could teach class on this now.
You've definitely learned a lot.
Mm-hmm.
But the important thing is you're thinking critically about the whole process, weighing the pros and cons. Mm-hmm. That's what we want everyone to take away from this.
Exactly. It's not about memorizing facts. It's about understanding how it all works so you can make good decisions. So let's bring it all together. If someone's thinking about using injection molding for their project, what's the big takeaway? What should they keep in mind?
The biggest takeaway is this. Injection molding is a powerful tool. It can turn your ideas into real products that people use every day. But like any powerful tool, you got to know how to use it. You got to understand its strengths and its weaknesses. It's not a magic solution. It's a strategy.
Like a lightsaber. You need training before you can use it.
Exactly. And just like learning to use the Force, injection molding takes practice and patience and learning from your mistakes.
So for those who are ready to embrace the power of injection molding, what are the most important things to remember? What questions should they be asking themselves?
Well, first things first, you got to be clear about your goals. How complex does the design need to be? What kind of material do you need? How many parts do you need to make? And does it all fit within your budget?
It's like planning a trip. You gotta make sure everyone knows where they're going. And speaking of everyone, I think it's important to remember that collaboration is key. Working with good designers, mold makers, and manufacturers can make a huge difference in navigating all the complexities of injection molding.
Absolutely, it's a team effort, and everyone needs to be on the same page.
But even with the best team and the best plan, there are gonna be challenges. Like those high upfront costs, especially for the molds, that can be a deal breaker for some businesses.
That's true. It's a big investment. And then there's the waiting. Those lead times for mold production can be tough.
Yeah, patience is definitely a virtue here. But I think it's important to remember that those upfront costs and those delays are often worth it in the long run.
Yeah.
Especially if you're planning for high volume production.
Exactly. It's like planting a tree. You got to wait for it to grow. But once it does, you'll be enjoying the fruit for years to come.
Well said. We've covered a lot today. The technical details, the strategic thinking, the potential problems. We've broken it all down so you can approach injection molding with confidence. But before we go, I want to leave you with one last thought. Knowing what you know now, what can you do with injection molding? What challenges can you overcome? What amazing things can you create?
It's pretty amazing when you think about it. You could take almost any idea and turn it into a real product. It's like magic, but it's real.
Exactly. It's like having a superpower. So go out there and use it. Let injection molding help you bring your ideas to life. And until next time, happy molding.